Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, I want to, in the next few moments, just talk to you about the fact that God knows exactly where you're at. He sees exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you need. And one of the things the enemy tries to use to discourage people in their walk with God is he wants believers to somehow think God's not aware of our situation or the needs of our situation or where we're at or what you're going through tonight. And that happens in a variety of ways. Sometimes it's just the situation is really hard and really bad. And then I think it's worse for people when they look at the situation they're in and they realize that they kind of created it. So then what the enemy says is, well, you know, you said things you shouldn't say. You lied. You cheated. You lost your cool. You did this. You did that. So, you know, how's God going to help you? You're getting what you deserve. And it maybe is hard to see, you know, because of that, then the enemy wants you to feel distance between you and God that is not necessarily there at all. And one of the things that builds faith is when we realize that no matter what our circumstances, God sees where we're at and is aware of us. But I mean, you think of like Job. He's suffering, he's lost family members, he's lost his wealth, he's lost his health. His wife is saying, curse God and die. His friends are accusing him of having committed some sins that have brought about his situation. And Job is saying, man, I'd just like to have a talk with God, but I can't seem to find him. Listen to what he says in Job chapter 23 and verse 3. If only I knew where to find him, if only I could go to his dwelling. But if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. He says, I'm looking, but I am not seeing him. The prophet Isaiah, talking about Israel, says this is what Israel was saying about God. God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. So it's possible for a nation to feel that way. It's possible for a people group to feel that way. It's possible for an individual to feel that way. And one of the encouraging stories in Scripture is the story in Genesis 16 of a woman by the name of Hagar. She's a single woman, and she is in probably the worst situation a human being could be in that day, and that is she is a female slave. Slaves in that day are property, and she is a foreigner, she is a female, she is a slave, and in that society, that culture, that means she has absolutely zero rights. And really has not only no social standing, but from a cultural perspective, she would have no reason to believe God would even care about her. Because people don't. And we read this story in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 1. Abram's wife, Sarai. Now, this is before Abram becomes Abraham and Sarai becomes Sarah. And they have Isaac, the son of the promise. They can't have children. Years have passed now, and it's not happening for them. So God's made them a promise. It hasn't happened yet. And just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. In their case, it's 11 years at least that they've been waiting. And Abram's wife, Sarai, had not borne him any children, but she had an Egyptian slave woman named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Why don't you sleep with my slave? Perhaps she can have a child for me. So that was something that was culturally acceptable in that day. But the Bible universally shows it to be relationally destructive. It's dynamite. So the Bible doesn't endorse it, but it's something the culture endorsed. And so Abram agreed with what Sarai said, and so she gave Hagar to him to be his concubine. God had said, listen, I'm going to give you an heir. I'm going to give you a child. Rather than waiting on God to do what God had promised, Abram and Sarai take matters in their own hands. That is always a recipe for disaster. So tonight, if you're waiting on the Lord and it hasn't happened, and you're saying, well, you know what? God helps those who help themselves. I need to make something happen. Be very, very careful. You're going to make a huge mistake. And the consequences of that will be with you for a long time. I mean, this is what happens here. Abram agreed. He does it. This happened after Abram had lived in Canaan for 10 years. Abram had intercourse with Hagar. She became pregnant. When she found out she was pregnant, she became proud and despised Sarai. Then Sarai said to Abram, it's your fault that Hagar despises me. She's forgotten whose idea it was. But that's always how it goes. You know, we take matters in our own hands, then we want to blame everybody but ourselves. It's your fault that Hagar despises me. I myself gave her to you, and ever since she found out she's pregnant, she has despised me. May the Lord judge which of us is right, you or me. I mean, so this is, I mean, you just got to picture it. There's plates flying, and, you know, I mean, they're having one of those knockdown dragouts, you know, and the whole camp is like, oops, they're at it again. Abram answered, very well, she's your slave and under your control. Do whatever you want with her. I mean, it's a bad scene. Then Sarai treated Hagar so cruelly that she ran away. Well, sometimes, and so here she is, she's in this situation where she's run away, but where's she going to go? I mean, it's not like she can go, you know, catch a flight to another city. It's not like she can get in a car or get on a camel and go somewhere. She has nothing. She runs away. And when you run away, she's a woman, and they're in a very arid, if not almost like a desert-like climate. And so she's out there. She's all alone. She's made the mess. And she finds herself in a nightmare situation. And it seems that no one cares. No one knows where she is. No one's concerned about her. And I really felt like, as I was praying today about what to bring to you, that there are some people here tonight, and you're in a situation where you feel like nobody cares. You're not even sure whether God cares, but you've come tonight, which is good for you. Because the Lord brought you here, or maybe somebody invited you, because God wants you to know through this message, because it so perfectly fits where you're at, that God sees exactly where you're at and knows what you're going through. So you read the story, and what happens is the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus before he came as Jesus, it's the pre-incarnate Lord, it's really Jesus speaking to her. It says, the angel of the Lord said, verse 8, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? She answered, I'm running away from my mistress. And he said, go back to her and be her slave. Then he said, I will give you many descendants that no one will be able to count them. You're going to have a son, and you will name him Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your cry of distress. Now, I want you to notice something there. Here's what he does. First of all, God demonstrates care for her. He talks to her. Where are you going? He calls her by name. He says, where are you going? God knows who she is. He knows where she's going, what she's thinking she's going to do. But he engages her in conversation because he values her. Nobody else in society may value her, but he does. And he cares about her. Now, I want you to notice, when he comes to her, he does what God will often do with us. He cares, but that does not mean he will not offer correction. You know, that there's some things he's going to want us to do. When he comes to us, is he going to show us care? Certainly. Is he going to give us correction? If we need it, he will. And he says, listen, I want you to go back, but would you notice, it's not like he's sending her back to a hopeless situation. Humanly speaking, it would seem to be very, very hopeless. But he talks to her about her future. What he reminds her is, your present situation is not what I have for you in the future. And I don't know about you, that's really good news. When you're going through a hard time, it's important for us because sometimes the worse the time is, the more you get the feeling like this is going to be permanent. This is going to be how it's going to be forever. And God says, listen, your present situation is not your future. So at that point, she's got the decision she's got to make. Is she going to believe in him? Is she going to obey him? And is she going to exercise? What's going to give her hope to go forward? That things are going to be different. Why? Because there's a God who sees where she's at. Before it was intolerable, it was unbearable, she had to escape. But there's a God who sees where she's at, and he has promised her a future. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God of seeing. Truly, I have seen him who looks after me." It really could read, "Truly, I've seen him who sees me." Listen, God sees you. He's the God who sees. He's the God who sees where you're at. He's the God who knows everything about you. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. Jesus said as much in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29. Jesus said this, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father." The word sparrows there is a generic word. It just refers to a little bird, a cheap little bird. In fact, Luke tells us in his gospel that if you bought four, they'd throw in a fifth one free. You say, well, what did they do with them? They would roast them and use them as hors d'oeuvres, just finger food. You say, you mean God cares about two for a penny hors d'oeuvres? He does. He cares when a bird dies. I mean, you drive down the road and you see birds that have met their match with some car all the time. And some Greek texts indicate that the word fall may mean hop. He sees them when they hop. So he sees the birds when they hop and when they stop hopping. I mean, you know, he sees. So if he sees the birds and cares about the birds, and this is arguing from the lesser to the greater, if he cares about a bird that's destined to be an hors d'oeuvre, how much more would he care about you? Look at what he says. This is what he says. "But even the hairs of your head are all numbered." Do you know in the average head of hair, there's 140,000 hairs on the average head. Some of you are messing up that average, but by and large, that is the average. And would you notice, it doesn't say he counts them. It says he numbers them. So tomorrow morning, when you comb your hair and you look, if there's one hair or whatever, you can say, there goes number 10,954. I mean, you know, he knows the number of that. That's amazing. That's knowledge right down to the seemingly most insignificant detail of a person's life. What's that tell you? He cares about things you don't even care about that concern you. You're wondering if he cares about the big things that concern you. Well, absolutely he cares about the big things that concern you because he cares about the tiniest of things that don't even concern you because he knows you that well. He is that acquainted with who you are and what you're like and what you're about. He created you. He loves you. In Ephesians, he calls you his inheritance. I mean, imagine that all of his wealth is invested where? In you. In you. Amazing. He would invest his wealth, that he would view. Think of all of the splendor, all of whatever's in heaven. You're more valuable than all of that, and he's invested his greatest wealth in you. It's an amazing, amazing thing, and he cares about where you're at. He sees where you're at. We'll wrap it up with this psalm, Psalm 33. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. Not some things, everything. And he knows all about, he's watching, he sees. No king saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all of its great strength, it cannot save. Because here's what our human tendency is to do, is to say, well, if I had this, or if I had that, if I had an army, if I had money, if I had this kind of mate or that kind of job, if I just had that situation, and almost everybody who's going through a tough time can describe a situation they feel a whole lot better about. If I just had that, then this would be better. If I just had health, and if I just had this, or if I just was like them, you know. And here's what God says. God says, no king saved by the strength of his army. You can have seemingly the most perfect situation, but in the end, that's not what brings about victory or deliverance or strength or fulfillment or wholeness or peace. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. God is watching. Here's what it's saying. God is watching for people who understand and realize he sees them. And because they know he's the God who sees, and they are seeing the God who sees, God says, I'm not going to let them be disappointed. Bring that scripture up on just one more time. He's the eyes of the Lord on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. That the Bible says over and over again that phrase, those who hope in the Lord will never be disappointed. What God is saying is, I'm never going to let anybody say, I trusted you with my circumstances, my situation, my life, the battle I was against, and you flat blew it. God's never going to let anybody be in that situation. God is watching for the people who look to him. So tonight, maybe you feel God has forgotten you. He's not aware of your situation. Maybe you feel you don't matter to anybody, and you don't really matter in terms of society. You're not well connected. You're not well healed in terms of resource. And you're saying, man, it looks really, really bleak. There's a God who sees you, and he knows more about you than you know about yourself. And if you'll look to him, he'll help you. Amen.